This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, where I think we introduced to the world the throw forward. It's like a throwback, but you accidentally release episodes of a podcast in the wrong order so that the jokes don't make any sense because they throw forward to the actual joke that they're referencing.
They all make sense in the end.
We are your podcast hosts, who are hilarious if you just wait another episode or two, Taylor and Chelsea. Here today, wrapping up the year that has been 2024. Now, Chelsea, how are you feeling about 2024?
Why didn't you prepare me for this question, first of all? Because now I'm put on the spot. I'm feeling okay. Depends on what you're asking me. Am I feeling okay about for 2024?
Okay, I feel like you fell back on fringy mini topics right there.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. 2024 is a hard year to pin down, I think. It is sad in that we've clearly seen an expanse of the extreme far right, which we have profiled and may in fact be talking about today.
You're right. If I think of this as the Friday episodes, I feel okay about it. I think we had a good year. But if I look at it in terms of fringy minis, I'm feeling disturbed. I think that would be the major category I'm feeling.
And I have focused more on negatives than positives in the fringy minis, just because that's the world we inhabit. It's kind of getting shittier.
Yeah, it is.
It's okay.
Well, it's not, but okay.
We will continue to exist in this medium of existence, whether or not we want to. So we're just going to keep going. Happy 2024 to everyone.
Thank you.
Like we do at the end of every year, we feel that some of the topics we talked about throughout the year might need a follow-up. And this is the time of year where we air those follow-ups so that everybody can see if it's worth talking about a subject. I have many a subject to follow up on. I think this is going to be a fun episode. And I think this is going to make for a very interesting 2025 once we get going through this. Chelsea, do you want me to start?
Sure.
I didn't think this episode would need a follow-up, but apparently it does. Do you remember we were talking about tires?
Yeah. Was that last year?
It was this year.
This year, yeah.
I didn't think this follow-up would happen, but here we are. Apparently, we didn't actually talk about the environmental impact of tires that well.
Okay.
November 28th, 2024, article was posted to fizz.org. which we've used many a time. I think it's a pretty good website. It's written by Henry Obanya, and the article title, "Car Tires Shed a Quarter of All Microplastics in the Environment. Urgent Action is Needed."
Oh, fuck.
Every year, billions of vehicles worldwide shed an estimated 6 million tons of tire fragments. These tiny flakes of plastic generated by the wear and tear of normal driving eventually accumulate in the soil and rivers and lakes, and even in our food. Researchers in South China recently found tire-derived chemicals in most human urine samples.
What?
These tire particles are a significant but often overlooked contributor to microplastic pollution. They account for 28% of microplastics entering the environment globally. Despite the scale of the issue, tire particles have flown under the radar, often lumped in with other microplastics. They are rarely treated as a distinct pollution category, yet their unique characteristics demand a different approach. We urgently need to classify tire particles as a unique pollution category. In our recent international study, colleagues and I found that this approach would drive more focused research that could inform policies specifically designated to mitigate tire pollution, and it could help ordinary people people better understand the scale of the problem and what they can do about it. Right now, the delegates are meeting in South Korea to negotiate the first global plastic pollution treaty. While this landmark agreement is poised to address many aspects of plastic pollution, tire particles are barely on the agenda. Given their significant contribution to microplastics, recognizing tire pollution as a unique issue could help unlock target solutions and public awareness. This is what we need to address the growing environmental threat. Tire particles tend to be made from a complex mix of synthetic and natural rubbers, along with hundreds of chemical additives. This means that the consequences of tire pollution can be unexpected and far-reaching. For instance, zinc oxide accounts for around 0.7% of a tire's weight, though it is essential for making tires more durable. Zinc oxide is highly toxic for fish and other aquatic life and disrupts ecosystems even in trace amounts. Another harmful additive is a chemical known as 6-PPD, which protects tires from cracking. When exposed to air and water, it transforms into 6-PPD quinone, a compound linked to mass fish die-offs in the US, which I'm pretty sure we knew about that stuff. Next parts with heavy vehicles, which we know about. Regulatory frameworks such as the EU's upcoming Euro 7 emission standards provides a starting point for controlling tire emissions, but additional measures are needed. Innovation in tire design such as eco-friendly alternatives to zinc oxide and other materials like 6-PPD could significantly reduce environmental harm, establishing a global panel of scientific and policy experts similar to ones that already exist for climate science or biodiversity, and could further coordinate research and regulatory efforts. Crucially, we must classify tire particles as a distinct pollution category. Compared to conventional microplastics, tire particles behave differently in the environment, break down in unique chemical compounds, and present distinct toxicological challenges. With more than 2 billion tires produced each year to fit ever heavier and more numerous cars, the problem is set to escalate. The environmental toll will only increase unless we recognize the target and the specific problem. Measures like weight-based taxation and eco-friendly tire innovations would not only reduce tire pollution, but also pave the way for more sustainable transportation systems. The question isn't whether we can afford to act, it's whether we can afford not to. And that's the end of the article. That unloaded a ton on me. I thought we knew about tire pollution. We did not.
Yep.
And I feel like as a group, we are informed on tire pollution. I thought we were not.
I mean, it's not that funny. It's an uncomfortable laugh. I'll admit it.
And it's also just, we thought like, oh yeah, we understand it. This is terrible. We're missing half the story.
Yeah.
Great way to start off the New Year's resolution. And that like, maybe we don't use our cars as much.
Yeah. For a Taylor update.
Yeah. Yeah. But with that, Chelsea, anything else you want to say about that?
No.
Okay, no. Let's move on.
I have an update on the line. The most recent update I could get is July. Constructionweekonline.com. If we are not familiar with the line, it's a project of the United Arab Emirates. Essentially just a line in which everything...
It's a city built in a straight line.
Yeah. In which everything that you would need would be within 2 minutes, I think, or something like that, right? I don't know. I'm going off memory.
A city was built on a main street, and that's it. And it was also all one building.
Yeah. Construction work on the line at Saudi Arabia's NEOM Giga project is continuing apace. And that excavation gave me a problem for a minute. I didn't recognize the word. Yeah, excavation works for infrastructure for the initial sectional modules are ongoing, with multiple campsites completed and emerging. In a LinkedIn post, NEOM's chief operating officer Giles Pendleton wrote, quote, "Lots of work visible across NEOM as camps emerge and infrastructure excavations are starting to show true scale of activities," end quote. He also shared aerial shots of the ongoing works in the world's largest construction site. That's crazy. You guys, I can't share this with, so I don't know how to get you these pictures, but I can show Taylor right now.
You can show me. We'll post them on our socials when we get there.
Did you see it?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? It goes on for a really long time.
It's actually not as much desert as I was expecting.
Oh, you don't think that's desert?
Well, it is desert. It's just like rocky desert, though. Where I was picturing like sand dune desert.
It really looks like a desert to me.
Yeah.
Here it is some more. It's like an airport.
Well, make a great one runway. In fact, what are they doing with the top? Maybe they can put a runway on top.
I mean, they could. Get out of here. I'm going to read this.
Are they, or is it all going to be HVAC?
No. In May, Pendleton rebutted media reports that the line at Neom was being scaled down from 170 kilometers to 2.4 kilometers, saying that the project will be built in phases and that the first phase is set to launch later this year. Quote, the master plan for the line remains at 170 kilometers, as we have always spoken about, and we have always maintained it will be built in phases. We are working on phase one, which we will launch later this year, end quote. Pendleton wrote in a previous update on LinkedIn. He had also hit back at skepticism about the project's completion, saying that criticism must be in context. Quote, imagine trying to build 170 kilometers or a city for 9 million people all at once. That's like building New York or London in one go. It's impossible, end quote, he commented. In May, a $1.5 billion water desalination plant planned to supply water for Neom in Saudi Arabia was effectively canceled after a joint development agreement expired without renewal. A revised project has taken its place that takes into account changes in expected demand. Earlier in April, Bloomberg reported that the line will be scaled down from 170 kilometers to 2.4 kilometers and accommodate approximately 300,000 residents. According to officials cited in the report, this scaling down of the line's development coincided with delays in approving Neom's budget for 2024 by the Kingdom's Sovereign Wealth Fund, PIF.
Oh god, those sovereign wealth funds in those Arab countries are just ridiculous.
So that is basically it. After this, it kind of recaps what the line is. The visionary initiative aimed to offer residents easy access to all amenities within a 5-minute walk or 20-minute high-speed rail transit. That's our update on the line. It's still going. Phases.
I forget. It's supposed to be done next year though, correct? No, it's a much longer project.
It looks like. Yes. Yeah. 170 kilometers. They're planning to make this a city, in a line. So I would think it's much longer than that. I think.
And you know, when your friends live on the other side of town and you're like, I don't really feel like making a plan with them because it's going to take 20 minutes to get there. This town, the other end of town, is 170 kilometers away.
That's pretty far, actually, when I think about it like that.
So I hope they have a way to address that. They probably don't, but whatever.
Well, yeah, it's probably the high-speed train that goes within the line.
But even then, it has to stop at every stop, does it not?
Yes. But I don't know that they're really addressing that, because at this point, it's the line, and it is what it is, probably. Mm. I don't know. I'm not. I'm just making this
Yeah,
up.
It's the line.
Yeah, it's the line. But that's my line update. What do you got?
I got a story from CNBC from June 14th, 2024, titled Luxury Homes on These Beaches Are Losing Value Fast as Effects of Climate Change Hit Hard. As sea level rise and storms intensify, coastal real estate is seeing flooding and erosion like never before. From Dana Point, California to Long Island, New York and Nantucket, Massachusetts, which Chelsea, that's how you say it. It's just, it's easy like that. Just say it like that.
Yeah, did I say it a different way?
Massachusetts. Can you do it?
Especially if I'm looking at the word.
And I ask you to do it, yes. Some of the nation's priciest coastal real estate is in an increasingly precarious position due to climate change. This year's hurricane season is already underway and the forecast is for above normal activity. We can skip this. It was above normal activity. It was awful. Just an awful hurricane season that we didn't cover because we didn't have to. It's not a fringe topic.
Yeah, it's just going.
Various risk models have shown myriad projections of falling real estate values, but the effects of climate change are already hitting the market and at a faster pace than most expected. Which, this might just be because I read the collapse subreddit, but whenever you're listening to people talking about climate change, the term faster than expected is in like every article. It's just how it works.
I don't think it's just there. I think it's in articles that we read here too, which you could probably find in the collapse subreddit.
Well, if I'm reading it, it might have come from collapse. So. A Nantucket home listed last summer for just over $2 million sold early this year for just $600,000. A barely remarkable nor'easter in the fall wiped away an astounding 70 feet of the beach it sits on, thanks to sea level rise and unusually intense rainfall. The buyer told the Boston Globe, quote, the price mitigates the risk to a good degree, end quote. Which, I don't know, it mitigates it. He still spent $600,000 on the house.
Yeah, I was just going to say, estate, and like, who would buy that for $600,000 even?
Somebody who has way too much money, and they're like, eh, I can throw $600,000 away for a decade or like 5 years, whatever.
Pretty much you're throwing it away.
Because at this point, they know. That person knows.
Yeah. See that nice beach? It's definitely not getting washed away.
It's not going to lose 70 feet this year. Oh, it did. Okay, that's fine.
It should be fine next year, though.
What are the odds you lose 70 feet of beachfront property in 2 years?
Yeah, exactly.
There have been several. One sold in the mid-sevens and one sold in the mid-eights, which I know that sounds like a lot of money, but those houses, if they weren't at erosion risk, would have sold for, I don't know, $10 or $12 million, says Shelley Lockwood, a real estate agent on Nantucket. Lockwood just launched a seminar for fellow agents to help them reprice homes at risk. Quote, I think we owe it is a duty to our client to tell them what the risks are. And I was getting frustrated that that wasn't being communicated to my satisfaction because I saw houses selling and I thought that's not worth it. It's falling in the ocean, end quote, said Lockwood. On the eastern end of Long Island, New York, in Montauk, which, you know, I'm really curious if we ever get an update from like the Montauk underground base of been flooded so they can't use it anymore.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Not so far.
Not yet, but we're getting close.
Yeah, I assume it will come soon.
A series of storms this winter had the community scrambling to bolster its beaches and protect its multi-million dollar homes. The water was coming in faster than ever before. Quote, where we've seen flooding in the past and the water subsiding right away, it's not subsiding anymore. We have a friend that has a $10 million home and he's not even sure what to do with it because if he sells it, it's never going to be the $10 million he bought it for. End quote, said Kay Tyler, executive director of Concerned Citizens of Montauk. Which, I'm never going to be in a position where I empathize with somebody who's not going to be able to get $10 million for their house.
Can you imagine being a part of that community and be like, oh no, the multi-billion dollar properties are about to collapse into the ocean. Let's go save them.
And they're not going to be able to resell them for $80 million. It's only for $10 million. Please, yeah. You need to sympathize with us.
But who is actually buying these homes? I think you're right. And it's actual other millionaires that are just like, eh, fuck it. Like,
yeah,
this is
fuck it. I have $600,000. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even want it back. And then these houses are pretty much worthless, but they're still going for like, that's less than 50% of what they're appraised at for oceanfront properties. That's crazy.
Looking at zip codes just on the east and Gulf Coast of the United States, 33 have a median home value of at least $1 million. And in just these areas, a combined 77,005 properties are at a significant flood risk. According to models by First Street, a climate risk data and analytics firm. That is roughly $100 billion in potential losses. Attorney Chris Farley, you know what? I don't think that's the same Chris Farley that we would think it is. Although, just an aside to this, do you know who the CEO of Ford is right now?
I mean, if you're asking me that, no, I don't.
It's Chris Farley's brother.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, is that weird or not?
I find it weird. I don't know if it actually is, but like...
Like, is he qualified?
I think he's qualified. I don't know for sure. I've never actually looked into Chris Farley's brother's credentials.
Do you think his credentials are Chris Farley's brother?
His credentials are screaming comedies. Yeah, I don't actually know. Doing a lot of cocaine, but not dying.
But to go back to the article and comment on that, there was always a risk to them before purchasing an oceanfront property. It just came up on them faster than they thought it would.
Yeah, and they're hoping it will bear the risk, as we've seen with our rich people's emotions theme that we've been following.
And I mean, rich people clearly don't like this.
No, they do not like this. No. There are definitely two sides of this coin, and the rich people are upset.
Yes.
Quote, I think we just put our heads in the sand. Values weren't going down until the last 10 years, and it's still kind of been quiet reductions, end quote, said Farley. Farley pointed to one property which he said had an assessment of $2.2 million. It has been assessed recently, but two others on the same street and Seaside Cliff have been reassessed, one for $500,000. And one for $250,000. The cliff is eroding badly. We don't know the value of those houses to begin with, but that is a huge drop off if they're considered the same value as that other house.
No kidding. Can you imagine how fucked that house is that's $250,000? It's probably teetering on the edge of the
cliff. It's already in the ocean, Chelsea.
Yeah, either that or the water is coming into one of the rooms already.
Which is really bad because it's on a cliff.
Wow, that's crazy. Wow.
Quote, I would say 12 to 15 feet of sand is gone, end quote, Farley estimated, pointing to huge exposed geotubes underneath the cliff. They should be covered in sand. Quote, they used to be able to walk down these steps right out, and there was another stairway. It's gone. So they have no more access. To me, that affects the value of the property when you can't even use the waterfront that you bought to be. Okay, I feel less bad for these people. It's like, oh no, I can't just walk out to the beach.
Oh.
End quote. Referring to the home that has yet to be reset. You know, there's not that much article left, but go ahead.
Okay. These geotubes are things they pump up to try and keep the water away.
Oh, interesting. On another Nantucket beach, the rising ocean has pushed sand so far that it's burying homes. Sand covered two homes up to the windows and uncovered the septic system and utility wires. Once those are exposed, the town has to condemn the property, according to Lockwood.
Whoa.
Quote, this was not like this last fall. This has happened this quickly, end quote, she said. Homeowner John Conforti lives just next to those two homes. Sand has risen so far, it now covers his entire front yard. His deck, which used to have a stairway down to the yard, is now even with the sand. He has owned this home for 42 years and already moved it back from the beach once.
He moved his house back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quote, we all say one more year. It's unbelievable what's happened, end quote, said Conforti. Lockwood estimates that without the new risks to the homes from climate change, 40's home would be worth $2.5 million. Quote, I don't know if you could sell it. Maybe five, maybe 500,000, maybe. But you'd have to have some buyer willing to lose it, end quote, she said. As more and more homes lose value and see their property taxes reduced, the local economy could take a hit, meaning taxes for everyone could increase to make up the shortfall. Nantucket residents are also voting on which parts of the island need the most help and who will pay for it. Meanwhile, in Montauk, experts are reassessing coastal resilience plans made nearly a decade ago after Superstorm Sandy because they're already outdated due to climate change. That's the end of the article.
I have so many thoughts on this. It's so crazy. Generally, they say real estate just goes up because, you know, there's only so much land.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with that. There's only so much land.
And it's going away.
Yeah.
But the rich, the people who have the most money, they want waterfront. They want to look at the water. And now the ones with the money are like, oh shit, our property's losing value.
And this might feel like it's incorrect, but just bear with me here. We actually don't make rich people bear risks. If something goes wrong for them, we as a society are required to bear their loss. And that's how it's worked for the last, unfortunately, 40 years. I feel like it might change someday in the future, but as of right now, no, that's not how it works. If rich people lose something, we gotta pay for it.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, in the article, it even addressed, maybe we're gonna bear the risk for these people, but you look at these people who chose to take the risk of having waterfront property and paying even more for it, but there are unhoused people, there are people struggling, and you don't see people offering up, especially these people with the millions and billions of dollars who have it to like throw $600,000 away for a throwaway beachfront property because it's going to be gone in a year. Like, they're not throwing up the money pay to help these people who are unhoused that can't afford even a property that's not beachfront.
No, and that's because we believe in prosperity gospel and that people who have money deserve the money and are good, and people who do not have money are inherently bad and or a different race than me and bad.
And that's the gospel of AI Jesus.
No, that's the gospel of normal preachers. I don't know what AI Jesus is preaching. I actually think it might be better than that because he's actually going to be preaching on.
I'd be so interested. Like, how do we get a hold of AI Jesus?
I would love to have him for an episode, actually.
I would do.
The important thing to say, like, really when we're talking about it between rich people and the homeless and houses being available, there's more empty houses in North America than there are homeless people, Chelsea. That has never been a problem. The problem is that it's not profitable to put them in houses.
Well, that's sad.
It is.
I don't like that.
And that's why I'm not a conservative.
There are many reasons why I'm not a conservative.
Yeah, there's many more than that. But if you want to put it bluntly, that's the easiest way to tell you why I'm not conservative.
Okay, now it's my turn. I don't know if you have an update on this as well. We may possibly have a crossover on this one. And by crossover, I mean we might be jointly talking about this. This next one is going to be about the unsettling rise of Nazism for the past years.
Yes, I do have an article on that, but we'll see what article you do and whether or not I have to do one.
It might very well be the same thing because there was just recently something to very update this on.
Which is it the election?
Yeah, you might have a different article, so I would actually like to hear it if it's not. This one is from CNN by Hannah Park, November 18th, title, "With swastika flags and bellowed slurs, neo-Nazi marchers strode through Columbus. Ohio's governor and officials condemn it." Ohio officials have denounced a small contingent of neo-Nazis who paraded Saturday afternoon through a Columbus neighborhood, waving flags featuring swastikas and shouting a racist slur in the latest public demonstration by white nationalists in recent years across the United States. Around a dozen people in black pants, shirts, and head coverings, their faces obscured by red masks, march along the street near downtown Columbus as three carry black flags emblazoned with red swastikas. Footage provided to CNN affiliate WBNS shows. At least one person yelled, I'm going to bleep this out, even though I'm not actually going to say it, again and again, according to the video that's garnered online attention far beyond Ohio's capital. Of course it is. The group strode past low-rise brick buildings housing a salon and a clothing boutique, along with cafes serving tacos, cookies, coffee, and bar grub, as its leader shouted through a black bullhorn. Columbus Public Safety dispatchers got 911 calls around 1:30 p.m. reporting a group marching in the Short North area, the dispatchers told the station. Columbus's mayor condemned the cowardly display and asserted the city's commitment to standing against hatred and bigotry. "We will not allow any of our neighbors to be intimidated, threatened, or harmed because of who they are, how they worship, and whom they love," Mayor Andrew Ginther, a Democrat, wrote on social media. Ohio's governor also condemned the demonstration, describing those involved as spewing vile and racist speech against people of color and Jews. "There is no place in the state for hate, bigotry, anti-Semitism, or violence, and we must denounce it whenever we see it," Republican Governor Mike DeWine said. "The number of events organized or attended by white supremacists in the United States hit a new high last year at 282, the Anti-Hate, Anti-Defamation League reported. Marches and public gatherings of white nationalists or people with Nazi flags have unfolded in recent years in Nashville, New Hampshire, Boston, Arkansas, Virginia, Washington, D.C., and Michigan, where flags with swastikas were toted this month outside a community theater performance of The Diary of Anne Frank." Oh my God, that's awful. "The swastika since 1945 has been the most significant, notorious hate symbols, anti-Semitism, and white supremacy for most of the world, with roots tracing to the murderous legacy of Germany's Nazi Party, especially the Holocaust," according to the Anti-Defamation League. The AD noted that the Columbus event aligns with the troubling trend of white supremacist incidents. Quote, "Over the past few years, hundreds of white supremacist marches and events have been organized around the country, aiming not only to instill fear and anxiety in the communities they target, but also to serve as photo opportunities for these groups to use in their recruitment and online propaganda," said Oren Segal, vice president of the ADL Center on Extremism. "When white supremacists starts competing for turf or visibility, the losers are the communities that they impact, Segal told CNN. In Ohio, no arrests were made during Saturday's events, though police briefly detained some marchers, according to WBNS. CNN had reached out to Columbus police for more information. Columbus community leaders organized a unity march. So that's the end of the article. I would also like to say they were just protests in Canada, in Montreal, I think it was. And there is also a video of, I think it was just one girl giving a Nazi salute that I saw come across on a news article I was reading.
The story you're reading, I had a similar article to it, but while you were talking about it, I found a better article. I shouldn't say better than what you did, better than what I found, so that I can add to what you said. From Wired. It came out November 26, 2024. Neo-Nazis are on the march across America. A recent neo-Nazi rally in Columbus, Ohio drew national attention, but it was just one of dozens that increasingly emboldened white power groups that have held this year. On November 16th, 11 days after the presidential election, a dozen neo-Nazis from a group called the Hate Club 1488 brazenly marched across Columbus, Ohio, carrying swastika flags. We heard this. On the same day, about 500 miles south, around to hold a roadside demonstration in Decatur, Alabama. They brandished signs containing anti-Semitic, anti-immigration, and generally racist statements. The demonstration in Decatur received no media attention, much less condemnation from the president. But researchers say that both rallies are a part of a disturbing pattern of increasingly hateful demonstrations led by neo-Nazis who have emboldened to use explicit Nazi imagery. Wired compiled all reported instances of similar neo-Nazi demonstrations, gleaned from local news reports and social media, and counted 34 in total in 2024 across 16 states. That's compared to about 30 in 2023, 22 in 2022, and 4 in 2021.
Oh my god, that's insane.
Experts say they are now happening with such frequency that they risk becoming normalized.
Oh my god.
And although hardcore neo-Nazi groups tend to eschew electoral politics, they view Trump and his second presidency opportunistically. Ugh. Blood Tribe leader Christopher Polhouse, known as Hammer, you know he's going to those white-oriented metal festivals.
Oh yeah, the black metal festival?
Yeah.
Neo-Nazi black metal festival? Hammer.
He celebrated Trump's victory after the election in a post on Telegram. Thanks, Trump, he said. Cheaper gas will make...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Make it easier to spread white power across the whole country.
Dear God.
Oh God, that is awful. These are laughs of unexpressed weird emotions. Yeah.
Yes. There I go.
That's like every one of our laughs on this show, to be fair. They're inane.
It's true.
Days after the election, a group of neo-Nazis gathered outside of community theater production of The Diary of Anne Frank in Howell, Michigan to show anti-Semitic slurs. They chanted, "Hail Hitler, Hail Trump," according to news reports.
Yike.
Most of the demonstrations observed in recent years have been led by the same handful of networks and organizations, which, despite their small membership numbers, have become increasingly visible. These particular extremists fall under the category of racially motivated violent extremists, which, according to the FBI Director Christopher Wray, are among the biggest domestic terror threats across the U.S.
I would imagine.
There's a lot more to it. I think this is far enough as we need to go, just because we do have a lot more to go through. And yeah, this is just sad.
Yeah, this is more than sad. It's terrifying.
I just need to say this now. If you think you're better than other people because of where you are born, stop listening to the show. It is not worth listening to the show. If you're willing to at least hear out another opinion, continue listening because we'll talk about it at some point. Like, that's this is not good. This is not good.
Yeah. I can't imagine what kind of life you would live to be like, I need to join Hate Club 1488 or anything in this article. I can't.
If you're joining a group 1488, I have to assume you know what that means. And Chelsea, do you know what 1488 is?
No.
So
I thought it was just a number they assigned to it.
No, 1488 is a very specific number. 14 is the 14 words. And 88 is H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. So it means Hail Hitler. And then 14.
David Eden Lane, one of nine founding members of the defunct white supremacist terrorist organization, the Order.
The 14 words are, we must secure the existence of our people and a future for our white children. So whenever you see 1488 or some iteration of that, that's what they're talking about.
Okay, I didn't know that that's what that meant. I thought it was maybe just the club number, the eight club number, 1488.
1488 is a very specific throwback to white supremacy and Nazism.
Well, I feel better knowing I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's actually a very awkward thing to know. And like, how do you bring that up with people?
Do not bring it up at a dinner party. We do not condone that method. Don't ever bring it up at a dinner party. Do we have something lighthearted to talk about or an update?
Kinda. From that article, we're going to move to the video because this is not good news, but man, are we going to have some fun. Chelsea, if I were to use the term tranma, who do you think we're going to be watching a video of?
I don't know. Is there someone with the last name Tran?
No. I looked into Bill Moore. He's still dead. I looked at John Keel, still dead. I looked at Corey Good, not doing much, but alive. I've looked at a few episodes that we've done this year. Somebody has awoken. I found out this video was posted 4 days ago from when making this episode. So we need to watch this. I am going to share my screen right now.
Okay.
And you are going to learn a lot right now.
Navigating the karmic burn. I don't know what to expect from what you're about to show me. It's uncomfortable. It feels like he's talking at me. What's wrong with his face?
And what's wrong with
his face? Welcome to the show. I'm your intrepid, fearless, and now somewhat toothless host.
He's toothless.
David Wilcock.
Yep.
And just for those who are, you know, in the betting pool, it ended up being the white shirt another today. Camera.
Yeah. So no, he does this many times, Chelsea. We need to see what David Wilcock's up to right now.
A nothing burger. You get nothing.
And he has satisfaction of in very many ways.
Your peers and having that sense that you were right and others were wrong, and then that's creating some type of ego satisfaction for you.
Because
apparently you're into that kind of stuff.
Oh, he has teeth problems.
Power over others.
The shirt's going to come up a lot.
You know, having intellectual superiority of some kind. So yes, if you guess the white shirt, you are the winner. I don't know if I really like it now that I'm looking at it, but what the hell, we committed to it. It's a white shirt day. It's a little bit bland, it's a little bit boring, but what the hell.
Does it look like this?
We're here, you're here.
This also, is David Wilcock, what did he do with his
and
hair?
We've got a hell of a show for you guys.
We have a particular family member relation who has hair exactly like this.
5,000 Argentinian pesos.
And it's just not good.
You know, $5, so thank you very much. To Rotina, I see we've already had some other donations.
We don't talk to her anymore.
Yeah, we had Brian Smith said he's seen saturation in the skies this week. So, anyway, I'm really excited, you guys. This is the moment that we've been waiting for.
It looks like he belongs in Whoville.
We're very close now to really big, epic things happening. And I just realized I didn't fix my camera, too.
How many cameras
do you need? So let me go ahead and do that right now.
Oh, I love this.
This guy's in the way.
He has made so many turns since we talked about him, and we're going to learn so much, about them.
Okay, perfect.
He's constantly changing camera angles.
All right, so we're back in action. After, did you miss me a whole week? Can you stand it? Can you stand not having a David show for an entire week?
I actually haven't seen him in way more than a week, and I couldn't stand it, yes.
That's our host.
David Wilcock once again. And I have been commenting on this incredible karmic burn that we are all navigating right now. I've had my own challenges to bear. And if you've been a regular watching this show, then you know that we have a lot going on in the world right now.
See, a little cross-eyed.
This is a very exciting, intense,
a little bit.
And definitely scary time.
Yeah, this is a scary time, isn't it?
It's not a normal time at all. we're at the very end of something huge. And unfortunately, a lot of people still don't know what the hell is going on. And they're very afraid right now. They're worried about nuclear war.
I'm very concerned with the way he's looking.
Well, you shouldn't be.
I guess this, it's been this is a all lot part of years, of a actually, very since interesting setup hearing about him.
To create a global awakening and to expose he's uncomfortable the in real the white danger shirt, I can tell. That we're all facing in the world. Yeah. So don't get
there,
hung up on
that. He changed the camera
that.
Angle again.
And if you are worried and if you are living in fear,
can you imagine
then
like
can
his thought process behind this? Like, I need three different
care.
Cameras.
So that oh, I he has sure at least seven, Chelsea.
A future for us.
You oh, he did.
He is only using the two best right
it's
now.
It's not going to serve
you. You know, he has a shoe level once camera really just in case.
I was just going to say, he's
the one guy named Skipper Greer who used it, and he saved him out, so you can't know.
November up to November, whatever happened in November, you know what I'm talking about. Got to be careful what I say.
I love this screen.
And if you
when
don't really
posted?
Understand what's going on, this is actually a proxy ago. Battle between oh the God. Alliance and the DS.
Oh, shit.
So
also, if
mean
you need a
that,
bra,
this is the central
that's,
theme
that's
of
what
the
we
show.
Got.
So if you haven't seen the show before, then what I was saying is that November was not a contest between a man and a woman running for office. It was something much, much bigger than that. It was actually a proxy war between two huge factions, both of which are almost entirely secret. And I was expecting that we were going to have a prolonged
he didn't seem that
vote
secret.
Counting type of situation, that there wasn't going to be any immediate relief. Maybe I'll tighten that up. That might make it look a little bit better. Just, I'm not really in love with the shirt. There we go. That's fine. So we had, that's okay.
No,
though.
We can
you know
tell.
What? It's white. We gotta change it up so that you guys don't get bored. I don't want you to start to wander outside of our relationship for pleasure. I hope you can be monogamous in this. You can watch whatever
what?
You want. I don't care. But just come here on
oh,
Sunday.
He gets more awkward
this is a good place
than this.
To be. We're going to take care of you. We'll give you a hot meal and a place to sleep. We'll get you off the streets, get you cleaned up a little bit, maybe get you some clothes from the Salvation Army. I could certainly do better than this shirt myself, but what the hell, I committed to it. It actually does kind of look better
to the
this
people
way, so.
That built their houses
you know what?
On
Maybe
the
I
ocean.
Don't completely
also,
hate
Chelsea,
shirt after all.
Notice that guitar
and,
in the
it does actually
from
show that
band.
I have a tan.
Oh yeah,
skin,
there
I'm
it is.
Just as white
oh,
as the fallen snow, you know. I'm a white man, which means I'm generic. I don't have any rights. I'm kind of just there for the taking. Whoever wants to take from you.
What?
That was one of the mentalities that we had.
That was my first big notice of that. There's a political underside of
between
this.
Between two factions, it starts to make a lot more sense.
What the fuck was that?
So at least now I've got
Chelsea,
a shirt looking somewhat
there's more that's
going to
come.
Somewhat
just like be accepted.
Let's read a couple of your comments because what the hell, I'm in a good mood. Thomas Bays says, nice there, garçon.
Oh,
hi,
this
David
is a new
Archangel
one.
Michael says, Gail
this
Collins, I knew it, white. It looks good, not bland, says Jenny Jean Razzle. Well, thank you, I'm flattered. You just had your teeth fixed. No, I didn't have my teeth fixed. That's the problem. There's actually a loose one in my mouth
we're
right now.
I was just going to say those.
But anyway,
teeth are driving
we had
crazy.
Some crazy donations coming in. Roger Zubarek is hitting us off big time here. So let's go back a little bit so you can see all these that have come in. Just in a very short time, we had Michael Larson. Thank you, David, for what you do. Here's some turkey food. We had Judy Booth. Faith over fear. Thank you, David. God bless. And scrolling down.
I don't know
down,
how they choose.
Malox 79. Did anything happen in Miami
him.
This past week? No fly zone. That's your first super chat. Thank you very much.
It's him.
I don't know.
This is a one man thing.
Know about, I don't have anything on Miami, but I got a great show. Roger Zubarek, $20. You're the best show on earth. Don't worry about the shirt. Thank you, Roger. Senior Sunt from New Zealand. I don't care about
what
the shirt.
Do
I do care about no one knowing how the pyramids
mouth.
Were built. I take a lot of satisfaction from ridiculing people with that in mind. You need Jesus, they say. How did the pyramids get built? Poof.
Listen to this answer.
Well, actually, the pyramids were built by Ra, who was the harbinger of Christ, and we'll talk about that maybe a little bit more. I like the shirt. White for purity. So, okay, you guys aren't unhappy. It's probably just me. So let's see here. Hold on a second. Master Kenobi, what's your take on his picks for the government for exposure to the cabinet? May the force be with you. We are definitely getting into that big time. We got Trent Malik, thanks for everything you do. And we got Ed Kreider, love you, Tranma. Well, you know, because it was requested with money, Tranma loves you too, baby. In fact, as you know,
no,
Tranma can embroider her own name.
No.
She's got a nice embroidery here for you. Look at all the trouble I went to do this. Look at all the sacrifices that I make for this. Okay. For this family in order to be able to do embroidery or crochet and needlepoint, whatever the hell this is. This is crazy. And in addition to that, I've also got this one, which is just sort of like
Tranma.
The great I am. I am Tranma. I am a Grands woman. I identify as a Grands woman. And I got a goddamn tooth broken out of my jaw, so that makes it even more crazy today. Thank you for being here. Love and kisses. Oh, my God, I'm burning myself. Love and kisses, baby. We love you. Okay. Getting serious once again. You know, you can't stay in character for too long. Some millennials get very... nervous. They say, what's going on? What happened to the show? Where's David?
This was a close
don't worry, it's just comedy. I'm not actually identifying as a Grands woman. Maybe I am, you know, but it works for me. So, like, that's the character that I've embodied at times. Thank you for being you, says Nuna Bees. MT Herrick says the best party Sunday is knitting with David. I didn't actually.
It works for him. He's not actually doing it.
Fans give me all kinds of funny stuff. But I did. I do have a fetish whip, you know, so if there ever needed to be any type of immediate erotic spanking that has to be doled out to this audience because you guys have been so bad.
Immediate.
Man, I'm ready. So this is always at the ready. We got lots of great tools here.
Does he think he's
to enhance your
comment?
Viewing enjoyment? Double your pleasure, what double your fun.
This is so not what I expected.
If you're old enough to remember what that means, then congratulations. You can hang out with Tranma. Oh, that's that Doublemint, Wrigley's spearmint gum thing, right? Doublemint, I remember all that. Anyway, Jenny Jean Razzle says, you look great in white. I've been seeing so much activity in the sky.
I'm kidding.
I can't wait for our cosmic cousins to show themselves. Thank you.
Embarrassment.
Make your stickers for your auto company. Says Michelle Mies. We can do that.
See, and he's embarrassed about the white shirt, but not the rest of the shit.
Don't offer to spank people. They might want it. LOL, says Fuzzy Tiger Cat. That's true. Anything you promise, you actually have to deliver if you want to have integrity. When will you talk about crypto, says Chris Anderson? Is it part of the Alliance's agenda? Yes, I think so. I don't know exactly how that's going to play out, but Bitcoin seems to have been doing really well. And I think the markets are happy about the way that this whole thing has gone down with the results that we saw in November. So Skywatcher Carlos says, I need your money. Well, you're not going to get very much, brother. I mean, maybe once the company gets financed, I'll be well off.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.
But I've had 3 solid years of almost complete bankruptcy. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. Thankfully, most of this year, we had a board member who was helping Stavati along. I've only helped a couple times. But we are right now in the brink of having things happen. We have a verbal promise for the first 110 that's going to come in for our 2 projects, which is the SM, what is it? It's the SM150, and then there's one other. I can't even remember right now. I mean, it's been confusing. Veronica Lucia donated. Thank you very much. Your 3rd super chat. Maine in the house says,
and Chelsea.
Mike. Bitcoin is going to be a black hole.
How much do you think he knows about his electric car company?
Kind of a... Or Phoenix Marker.
Like very
it's kind
much.
Of a depressing.
Where she
working on that?
Oh yeah, David, no. This hey, is David, we are learning this right now.
You don't say amen.
This is what we're going to learn about this year. Well, is this
I
coming out?
Keep this as
but
secular
he only knew about SM150 and couldn't name the other models.
So most of these New Agers, like And So It Is, I do that one a lot. Sometimes I say amen. I just, you know, there's certain people who are triggered about Christianity, and I try to be honoring them, because if I just went hardcore Jesus, then that's going to exclude people who are not ready to understand what the Christ really is. But I talk about this almost every week. The Christ consciousness is the consciousness of the galaxy and of our universe. It is actually an intelligent cosmos. Consciousness Evolving donated, got 9 likes. Grant Armstrong said, I watched every Gaia episode. Wisdom Teachings was fire. Thank you very much. So yeah, we've already got 3,411 people, and we're only 13 minutes in. That's really freaking incredible. So thank you guys for showing up. Thank you for being here.
So Chelsea, I just want to really point out,
appreciating the white shirt. You know, it's just
he just said that Jesus built the pyramids.
I said, what the
but he can't.
I'm going to take my chances. I'm
yeah. Oh yeah, he said that earlier. But he can't say amen or anything regarding Christianity because it might throw people off. Of his,
I love reading your comments. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I also don't want to be here for 5 freaking hours.
I mean, I wouldn't just say that one thing within the.
So what we've been going through here is a very intense proxy battle,
like the most
between the Alliance and the DS.
Is this not gold, though, Chelsea?
You will soon enough. But what
is
the Alliance?
First of all,
the Alliance
is aging.
The U.S. military, most of the intelligence community. And a surprise,
but not into cheese. Not into cheese.
Who are all interested in world peace and the real
and
source
really
of why we don't have that
do
world peace, as it turns
not
out,
even
is this
do
thing
the
we're
kindness.
Calling
I just
the DS. And so, what is the DS? It is a secret Babylonian Roman.
Punch that loose tooth out of
that
his
actually
mouth.
Practices
we haven't even heard the end of the battle
of
that is the white
in a very,
collared shirt.
Diabolical way. This is unfortunately something that
war.
A lot of people don't want to hear about.
I've only listened to half hour of this.
Every time I do, he gets really, really depressed. He doesn't want his own mommy and daddy in the political sense. Sorry, Dad, but you know, I'm just going to be honest. A lot of people are not ready to find out that mommy and daddy are evil. And if they find out, they get really scared. And the idea of the DS being brought to justice is really scary to somebody like my dad. The idea of trials, the idea
also,
of
it really depresses me.
Camera angle changes.
But you know what? Awesome. You camera angles are terrible. Chelsea, he has 3,000 people watching him live.
They're still going to be this
I would have loved to jump in there
this.
If
There's
I knew this was happening. I can't take the way
the
you
universe,
paused this. He's looking at me right
I
now.
I would love to post with like some money attached to it. Like, hey, Journey to the Branch has done a really in-depth podcast review of your history. I'd love you to plug them.
Maybe it also involves, it seems to always involve.
Stay outside of that.
If anyone listening right now would like to do that on our behalf and do us a kindness, we'll not go unnoticed.
There would be invisible forces at work. But if you're having the hallucination,
I'd also like to
see
if he'd comment on Corey Good being held at gunpoint by Gaia.
Demonic entity. So yeah, we got to deal with the Allison Carr. Thank you very much. Thanks for the donation.
Why does he do that? Is it set to random?
That it works. For whatever reason,
I
in
feel
this
like
galaxy,
he's changing it.
You can have ordinary,
but he doesn't seem ready for it. Like Chelsea, did you see that?
And even worse,
no. There's
the
one
he
where he switched
shows
it,
up, then
and he's sitting looking at his computer, and he kind of looks over his shoulder,
and he says, "Oh shit, it's changed."
And these entities have a surprisingly large amount of influence over people telepathically. These entities actually can control, to some degree or another, the way that humans actually function and work. So one of the things I haven't really gotten
okay, this is the big part I wanted to get you to, Chelsea.
Is the idea of demonic possession.
We're going
to
see where his
and
politics
it's far more
are.
Common than you realize. If you start
and he has
down,
the Alliance and the DS, which he struggles to actually say
one.
Every
you
time. He really tries
road.
To do it. DS stands for deep state.
Anger,
that's all it stands for.
Of jealousy.
But
thoughts of
we'll see where he stands on politics now.
Thoughts of extreme sadness. If you start having negative emotions where you want power over others, you want to manipulate people, you want to lie to people, lying is a big one, controlling people, then guess what? The universal law stipulates that this is my left shoulder, right? It's your right, my left. that this demonic entity on your left shoulder, figuratively speaking, can begin sending thoughts into your mind. Now, depending upon how far along somebody is on the psychopath spectrum, if they go into a tantrum and they start yelling and they start acting violent, they may be almost in full possession from that demon, from some type of negative entity that is always watching us moment by moment and always waiting for us to start going down a negative road. And so again, no one is exempt from this. You cannot get saved and be free from this. There is no way to exorcise those demons except in the law of one system.
Oh, not as actual
through
death.
Faithful, diligent practice of positive spirituality. That's the only thing that's going to help you. You can't make it go away. My lips are really freaking dry, you guys. We're in full-blown winter out here now, so it's intense. And we're going to have a moose video for you guys coming up. But anyway, now they let you feel really greasy. Okay, it's got to be halfway. Wipe it on your sock. Nobody's going to care or notice. All right, that's a lot better.
I'm supposed to know this.
Look, I'm not trying to scare anybody here. We got another donation that came in. Golden Threads.
What's wrong with
his
eye? I'm
seeing craft in the sky at night now. We're practicing contact five protocols. Are you seeing increased sightings where you are? And it goes without saying, you're doing great. Love and light. Thank you, Golden Threads. We're up to 4,000 people now. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really get a lot of sightings, but I do have turkey sightings, moose sightings, deer sightings, squirrels, chipmunks, although they haven't been around for a while. The chipmunks are the burgers of the forest, and they all die out by the end of the season. They've all been eaten. We have coyotes. We have mountain lion. We have cougars, bobcats, bears, everything. Shannon Benninger just donated $20. Thank you very much. Demons are real. Rise your frequency. Yes, let's get back to that. That's Linda Baker said that. The point is, you can't make it go away except through the
You can tell he does not give a shit about this anymore.
I think he's reading off a teleprompter.
You can't just say, oh, I'm a spiritual person, and then engage
see,
in
he's
hatred,
switching
anger,
it. He's
jealousy,
switching it.
Competitiveness.
Do you see that?
Yeah, I did see it at that point. I feel like the first half was random.
People, getting easily irritated. If you're irritated all the time, it's really time to
I mean,
do
he's showing his age. He might not know what he's doing.
If you're
with
irritated
it.
And you keep taking it out on other people. Wait. And you take your own internal angst and now you want to make it somebody else's fault. And so you blame other people for your own anger. That's a very, very common thing that people do. They want to have a relationship where there's a person they can always vent their frustrations on, somebody who's willing to take it. And so a big part of what we're dealing with in this proxy battle between the Alliance and the Deeps, you know what, is that... the DS, is that it's actually a battle between love and hate.
It doesn't matter what freaking
it's a, it's this is just a symbolic level of it.
It's very important.
The real fact is that the Alliance is being helped by positive, angelic, human extraterrestrials. The DS is being helped by demonic entities that do exist.
We just not give a
Both
shit
sides
about what
of this
saying.
War are real. And if you have, let's go back to the camera I did that before, which was this one. If you so this is where the negative entity would be, your left shoulder, right? If you go negative, then your thoughts go negative. You're going to hear those. You're going to have thoughts come into your mind that are fueled by negative entities. This is actually real, according to the law of one. Similarly, when you have thoughts of love, peace, forgiveness, compassion, now positive angelic entities are always around you all the time, and they start sending you energy to help you. And so you will have increased love, increased patience, increased compassion, and that's how the universe actually works.
Oh, we're almost at the point I wanted to get to.
A system in which the good is rewarded with positive karma, and if you act negatively, you actually experience negative karma.
It's not trying to scare, but he's doing these video swaps.
Negative karma is very real. If you cut your finger, if you were, you know, cutting with a knife and all of a sudden you cut your finger open...
He's talking about CE5 of it.
What was I just thinking right before that happened? I got chunks of skin on my lips. There we go. Try to think of what was happening right before you cut yourself and say, like, okay, did this accident that happened to me, whatever it is, have a reason? So one of the things I notice the most frequently is that when somebody is on the psychopath spectrum, they are extremely sarcastic, disrespectful and cynical about anything having to do with karma. You think that because you said such and such that happened to you, karma, right, right. No, no, no. It's a very intrinsic level of awakening to understand, as it says in the Bible, as you sow, so shall you reap. What goes around comes around. The Hindus call it the law of karma. Once you really begin to grasp that karma not only works, but it's extremely precise, you've begun this path of awakening that I'm talking about. You're living in a hologram, and it takes a big perspective shift to understand that karma is real. It takes the recognition that other people around you can be invisibly manipulated to bring about positive or negative karma. And the power that the positive beings have to bring you positive karma is incredible. So the universe is like a gumball machine. And if you put love in, you get love gumballs out. And you can chew those, and they're very sweet and delicious.
I can't take this.
Whereas if you're putting out anger, negativity, and hatred, you are going to get nailed. It doesn't matter if you understand it or not. Ignorance is no excuse for the law. If you do negative stuff, if you engage in manipulation and control, you're going to get nailed.
So he's been trying to coin his own term, the DS.
People who are on the psychopath spectrum, so, as we've said before,
listen to this part accordingly.
Of the brain that are adversely affected, all but three or four of them show a diminution in their electrical activity, and there is a rotting. There's actually rotting in the brain in the form of fungus. This often encompasses the frontal lobes, which is where there's emotion and love and spirituality. And so people on the psychopath spectrum, they're dulled. Their frontal lobes don't even function. That tissue is rotting. There's no electrical activity on an MRI. And they all have, as I've said in many other shows, a very predictable set of behavioral ideologies. They always seem to have a high degree of narcissism. They always seem, the very first thing on the list for the psychopath is the word glib, which means they talk too much. So one way to tell, it's not every case, okay? Sometimes people just like to talk. But if you have a person who's just always talking and they always want you to listen to them, that may be an indication of psychopathy. They lie. They have no problem with lying. They're compulsive liars. They are usually sex addicts of some kind or another. Sex addiction can be treated, but fundamentally speaking, if you use other people for pleasure, but you don't really intend to be with them and you manipulate them and lie to them in order to hook up and just get your rocks off, but you're not really interested in any commitment, that's psychopathic. That's another example. So what psychopaths do is they have process, which would be deify, denigrate, and destroy. First, when they come into your life, they deify you. You may never have been complimented this much by anybody before. They really seem to look up to you. And that's the hook. That's how that's the relationship acquisition mode. Then they have the denigrate phase. As soon as they feel like they can trust that you're not going to run away, they start knocking you down. And so one of the ways you can tell if somebody's a psychopath
is that early along,
when you first start getting together with
them, he does, and he describes himself right.
They just experiment with that and see, what are you going to do? If they give you a startling insult, are you going to push back, or are you going to try to apologize? You know, another way that you can tell if somebody's on the psychopath spectrum is that you're always apologizing. You're always in trouble. You're always being accused of violating their extreme sensitivity. They're very, very sensitive. They're actually fragile people. And as you get more into it, you discover that because of these shut down parts of the brain, they actually have deficiencies in their cognitive functioning. And so you'll get things like people who have learning disabilities. Doesn't mean that if you have a learning disability that you're a psychopath. But psychopaths cannot necessarily run a small business successfully on their own. They can't juggle a bunch of complex tasks. It's harder for them to learn. It's harder for them to perform certain tasks. And so they typically want to be in some type of domination in which they are telling you what to do, and then you got to go out there and make their dreams come true. They're the dreamer and you're the doer, and you have to do everything for them. And they want you to clean up after them. They want you to cook for them. They want you to do everything. They want you to, you know, make the money. Then they get to spend it how they want.
With what?
And so what we are seeing with the DS,
what kind
as
of
I
gumball
right
does
here,
that get you?
Is an organized group.
We can
of
end this here because it's going to keep going. It doesn't stop with golden things to talk about.
I need to go watch that because I could not control myself for a little bit there.
It is beautiful.
Every single thing that he was saying or just doing.
And where we ended off, I just need to point this out as somebody who used to kind of think about karma as something that happens. We have no way of knowing what the universe would consider good or bad. Therefore, we have no way of knowing what we are being rewarded for or punished for, and what the universe would consider punishment for or rewarding those topics. So just like fuck off right with that.
That was a treat. Thank you for that.
And every second of that was golden, and I was laughing so hard at parts I couldn't breathe.
I did not realize he went right down the Trump hole. Like, right down.
Oh, you can tell. I also didn't know that chipmunks were called...
Oh, geez. I wonder which side he put as the DS and the Alliance, who has also happens to be the military, who's the good guys.
I can't even. Oh, that was good. I needed that.
I feel like we might get a new David Wilcock episode this year, just because he happened to very specifically mention that car company is going to start up again this year.
Oh, I'm glad it's starting up again.
I feel like we're going to get some liquid, not liquid.
Yes, liquid.
Audio gold out of David Wilcock. I don't want the liquids of David Wilcock, please.
Is it a, what kind of gumball?
Oh, it's a Tranmaw gumball. A man who identifies as a grandma. That is the shittiest joke I think I've ever seen.
He really thinks he's so funny. Okay, is it time for me?
Yes.
Okay. Fizz.org. Thank you, Fizz.org.
Is it?
Yeah, September 7, 2024. This one's F-I-Z-Z. Just kidding.
It's all about the bubbly drinks.
The title is, hold on, I don't know who wrote this, it doesn't have a writer. Colombian court orders Escobar's hippos to be hunted.
Oh,
yeah. We're here for this update.
I thought they were thriving, and they are, and that's the problem.
Yeah, Taylor just summarized it all right there. Colombian court on Friday called for the hunting of hippos, introduced to the country in the 1980s by drug kingpin Pablo Escobar. The administrative court of Cundinamarca set a three-month deadline for the Ministry of Environment to issue a regulation that contemplates measures for the eradication of the species, affecting the area's ecological balance. In their homeland, Africa, the animals are responsible for more human deaths than almost any other animal. But in Colombia, the hippopotami have become loved members of the local community and a tourist attraction. Why are they so good in the community?
They donate food. They dress up as so Santa good at the Christmas season.
They've also been increasingly posing problems for the local community near Escobar's old ranch in Antioquia State, one that experts worry may soon turn deadly. After Escobar's death, hippos from his private zoo made their way into nature in an area of abundant vegetation and where there are no predators. There are now some 166 of the two-ton beasts wandering freely. Attacks on fishermen have been reporting on the Magdalena River, and experts argue manatee populations could be threatened. Though animal rights activists and tourism workers oppose...
They have manatees in those rivers?
I guess so. We know that?
I actually kind of want to see a hippo manatee fight. I did not know that.
Well, why don't we just get them to breed together and then there will be no problems? We'll thrive.
Can they?
I don't know.
I don't think they could.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
It's an idea I floated.
That would be a sexy solution.
Yes, it would. That's what I would call it, too.
I'm going to an AI and seeing if they can answer this.
While you do that, I'll continue reading. The court specified that measures to eliminate the hippos should include controlled hunting and sterilization. We already knew that. They can't find their balls. The environmental ministry had already announced...
Hippos and manatees are different species and cannot breed with each other. Yeah. Hippos are large semi-aquatic mammals native to sub-Saharan Africa, while manatees are aquatic mammals found found in rivers and lakes. They have different physical characteristics and reproductive behaviors, and we can't find hippo balls. I assume it says later on. That's the end of the
That's just a known fact. Thanks, AI Jesus. The Environmental Ministry had already announced last year plans to sterilize part of the population while euthanizing others as part of an effort to contain the growing number of hippos. The sterilizations have proceeded slowly, while no cases of euthanasia have been carried out. Plans to move the animals to Mexico, India, or the Philippines have also floundered. See, this just updated everything.
Why did they even say they were trying to euthanize them when they said they haven't killed any of them?
It's a slow process. Maybe next year we'll have another update.
Maybe next year one of them will have cancer. Good news. We found one hippo with a high microplastic content. It's going to have cancer within 10 years.
The microplastics killed it.
Guaranteed.
Okay, what's your next update?
That's all the updates I have.
Okay, I have a couple more.
Can I?
Yeah, you can.
Because we were just talking about David Wilcock. Can I just add that he had that really weird joke about how he's a white person who has no rights anymore?
That was
awkward.
Yeah, that was like a QAnon thing. Or just, I mean, it was awkward to say the least. I mean, that whole thing I hated, but it was the funniest thing I think I've seen in a long time.
I hated it. It's beautiful. 10 out of 10. Would not change a thing.
This is what I live for. That was the best update I could ever had. Okay, this one is from Riazor. .org. First human whale conversation achieved with AI. You won't believe what they said. Now, this could be an update on a couple things. AI or, what was that guy's name again?
Quain.
In a stunning breakthrough, scientists have successfully held a conversation with a humpback whale. Led by a California-based research team, this remarkable human whale conversation was made possible through advanced artificial intelligence and sophisticated underwater technology. Many thought such a feat was impossible, but now it has opened up new avenues for understanding marine life and beyond. Humpback whales, known by the scientific name Megaptera novaeanglii, no one's gonna know that, but they're renowned for their intelligence. They can grow up to 60 feet long and weigh around 40 tons. According to Dr. Fred Sharp from the Alaska Whale Foundation, these majestic creatures are capable of extensive migration, traveling up to 5,000 miles between feeding and breeding grounds, and are celebrated for their complex social behaviors. They create tools such as nets made of bubbles to catch fish and extensively communicate through songs or social calls. As you can imagine, humpback whales have captured the imagination of marine biologists and the public, with many determined to uncover more about their behavior and communication methods. Most recently, a research team led by Dr. Brenda McGowan from the University of California, Davis, part of the Whale City Project, played a recorded humpback whale contact call through underwater speakers off the Alaskan coast. To their surprise, a humpback whale, whom they dubbed Twain, suddenly approached the team's research vessel and responded by initiating a human-like conversation that lasted 20 minutes. We believe this is the first such communicative exchange between humans and humpback whales in the humpback language, Dr. McGowan said. This is just from November 25th. Through their conversation with Twain alone, the Whale SETI team was able to determine using AI algorithm-driven analysis that the whale was emitting a greeting call. Following this interaction with Twain, the team is expanding its use of cutting edge technologies in their research, incorporating underwater microphones and AI-driven chat tools to analyze and interpret the intricate patterns of whale sounds. These innovations help identify possible language-like structures within the whale's vocalizations, allowing the team to detect the complexity of communication among humpback whales. The Whale SETI team is exploring not only vocal calls, but also non-audio communication methods of humpback whales, namely the bubble rings they create. Their upcoming findings promise to enhance our understanding of whale communication. Additionally, the interaction with Twain marks a boost in understanding other animal species, challenging our perceptions of intelligence in the animal kingdom. By improving our communication methods with whales, we aim to gain more profound insights into their lives and, with a touch of ambition, for deciphering messages from intelligent life that may inhabit other parts of the universe. I'm just laughing to myself because this is so animal forward when in the video of David Wilcock, he referred to chipmunks of the burgers of the forest.
It was beautiful.
Anyhow.
He has a way with words.
He really does. And his fucking dried lips on his...
It must come from his identification as a tranma.
Anyhow, that's the end of that. The other thing I wanted to update quickly on was our beloved orcas taking billionaires out one yacht at a time. I'm just going to read the headlines of these ones. First article, orcas aren't attacking boats. They're just playful teens, scientists say. That's the Washington Post.
Chelsea, sorry. We need to stop right there. Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post.
Oh.
So he has a vested interest in the orcas not actually attacking billionaires' yachts.
Yeah, they're just playful teens. Okay, thank you for that insight. The next one is from Euronews. Why has Portugal banned tourist boats approaching orcas? Bat of European rammings continues. Like the title of that one. And then orcas accused of attacking boats may be following fad, scientists say in The Guardian. You know what? I had a few other updates, but I think this took us far enough of an update around our year of 2024.
Been a long episode.
Yeah.
I think it is a good place to call it here. I guarantee you there's at least like 30 different episodes we could update on. But at this point, nothing's going to top learning about the orcas and David Wilcox. Yeah. So.
And with that, my lips are chapped.
My lips are chapped. You can see it falling off of my face. I'm just going to pull it off right here in front of the camera.
Some dried lip skin here.
Thank you guys so much for listening to us this year. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing and keep growing. And Chelsea, I don't think either of us, had we said it, would ever think that we would continuously put out a podcast episode for 3 years nonstop.
Yep. No, we didn't say it out loud even up till this moment.
No. And if there's one thing we are not known for, it is consistency.
Yeah, but this we have done.
Or being held to a deadline.
We did it.
We did it. You guys don't know how hard it has been for us to meet that.
True.
Even if it's not that hard to do as a deadline, it's just something that we've struggled with. And this is our side of it.
Yeah.
In any event, I am Taylor here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next year.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.